charismatic, passionate, has integrity, humble, servant, inspiring, faithful, persevering, positive, flexible, driven.
This is not about theory. This is about application. This is what you're trying to be. This is who we are that call ourselves leaders.
I'm Dave Ramsey, and you're listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hey, this is Christy Wright, and I'm here with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Fantastic. So where's Chris Hogan?
He's not with us today. He's actually just in the other room at our conference center teaching our Entree Leadership Performance Series event.
Yeah, he's teaching our Performance Series event as we're recording right now. And it's a record event. Over 165 people are here in the same building that we're in right now at the time of this recording. And so Chris is on stage teaching, and that thing just keeps growing. It's super exciting.
Yeah, I was just over there. It got kicked off to a strong start.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, you know, we've been talking about productivity, and I think it's really relevant to look at what goals we've set for the new year, but now how to actually put those into action and make them into a realistic plan that we can maintain throughout the year.
Yeah, this is kind of a deeper dive into goal setting, because when we set goals, those aren't necessarily done with constraints. It's just, here's what I want to do.
Right.
But then we've got this finite resource called time.
Right.
So how do we get our goals into our calendar and do it in a way where we're not overextended and everything's kind of in balance? And that's a topic you really specialize in, and you talk about that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I love talking about that. And that's honestly, it's a challenge for me because I'm a dreamer. And so it's easy for me to dream about the goals. But then when it comes to realistically how many hours in a given day I have to live these out and make them a reality, that becomes the challenge. And I think for a lot of Entree leaders, we're visionaries and we're dreamers. And so it's really easy to dream up these big, ambitious goals, but then reality sets in and we're tired and we're worn thin, and it's tough sometimes to squeeze in new activities into our already busy schedule. So we're going to talk about that today and kind of dive a little bit deeper into how to manage our time based on our goals.
So how do you balance that between, because the energy is in the dreaming, right?
I mean,
that's what's motivating. If it's not a big dream, a lot of times we're not really inspired by
it.
And sometimes we just would rather be in denial about the reality of how much time we have.
Right.
But in my experience, I've set big goals and big dreams before and gotten some headway over a couple of weeks, but then I have this wake-up call with my calendar or with my family, and I'm just going, this isn't realistic anymore, and I feel defeated when I surrender that dream or that goal. So how do you avoid doing that but still make sure you're kind of stretching yourself and pursuing that on a regular basis?
Well, I think as Entree leaders, it's really easy to have intense focus on one thing at a time. And that can be great in some areas, like in our business, when we've got this focus and this momentum towards what we're running towards. But if you set goals in the wheel of life, for example, in all of these different areas of your life, and you set all these ambitious goals as if each one of them is independent, you're going to be really frustrated when you realize that they compete. And so, for example, you may have a huge ambitious goal for weight loss, for example, but when you realize, just like you said, the time committed in order to reach this goal is going to take you away from your kids or your family or your business, it may not be that realistic of a goal. And it's not to say, you know, bring your goals back, but just look at them together and see exactly what's important. And we'll talk about that today, but look at them all at the same time, because there's going to be multiple things in your life that you have to balance, not just one goal of weight loss. There's other things competing for your time as well.
So I can hear the typical entrepreneur listening to that and going, that sounds really good. But I habitually go all in on something and I get something started, and then something else gets my attention or something else is on fire.
Right.
And I just still feel like I'm living, putting out fires all the time, just reacting.
Right.
So what's the solution?
Well, honestly, it's the same thing that I teach people when I speak on money. If you don't have any margin in your life, you can't add anything new. If you're already stretched thin where every waking moment is unavailable, then you can't add something in without taking something away.
So it's like an emergency fund.
Yeah,
for
really
your time.
With your budget, if you don't have $1 to spare, you can't attack that debt unless you either increase your income or decrease your expenses and create some margin in order to make a change. And that's really how change is possible in your budget or in your time. And so I would encourage entrepreneurs to say, okay, where is that margin? Maybe right now you wake up late, maybe not, but maybe you wake up late and you say, oh, I can get some extra margin by waking up 2 hours earlier and just creating new habits to become a morning person because that goal is important. Maybe it's cutting something else out, like watching TV or something that's not as important to you as this goal, but you've created the margin. Without the margin, you're not going to be able to add anything new.
That's great. Well, we talk a lot about goals and we talk a lot about how to set goals, But then we got to take those goals and put them into the real constraints of a calendar and time management and manage those goals against our schedules. And so Dave's going to teach us today about a tool that we use that we really think is a really empowering way to do that. So let's go to Dave and check that out.
So we go from a general understanding of what an entree leader is to dreaming, to mission, our dream, to vision, to mission statement, to goals and goal setting. And then you will be amazed the number of people who automatically manage their time well after that. They really do, because they care about the outcome and they know what their daily response has to be in order to hit their goal, which is consistent with the mission statement, flows out of the vision, and causes them to be able to live their dreams. And the same is true of you and I. I'm living a dream. Ever hear the old country song? I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. I am living the dream, but I didn't start with the dream. I started with the day-to-day activities that allowed me to live the dream, that caused my dreams to come true. And it's not an accident. It's sowing and reaping. It's cause and effect. You're going to reap what you sow. There's no way around it. In order for those dreams to happen, we have to go all the way down from dreams to vision to mission statement to goals to literally managing minute by minute, hour by hour, inside of our business to cause those things to happen. And each individual that works inside of our organization has to do that as well. And so we have to show them that you have to do this to get this. You have to manage the little things, and if you manage the activities, the results will occur. You will either tell your day what to do, or you will wonder where it went. We can spend time doing ridiculous things to avoid facing the things outside of our comfort zone. We'll find ways to do something, because I don't want to deal with this or that. I don't know how many of you have had this experience, where I get up really early, and I go to work, all ready to go to work, and when I come in, somebody brings me a problem, and here we go. And it's just, and I'm going all day long, hard, and it's 12 hours later, I go home, and I sit down on the couch, and my wife says, "What'd you do today?" And I have no freaking idea. And I'm exhausted, which means that my business is running me. I'm not running it. It means that I really should be wearing a fireman's hat, because probably all I'm doing is putting out fires all day long. Now, sometimes you got to stop and put out the fire. You don't want the building to burn down. I get that. But if that's all you're doing and you have no idea and the whole thing's running you, you're not pushing things around and directing things. Instead, they're all, you feel like an ever-ready bunny stuck in a pinball machine, then you're not going to win long term. Because you're, number one, you're going to burn out. It just destroys the spirit to live like that. But number two, you're not effective. You're not productive. And so I need to think about this stuff and not just panic and run off and take off and do stuff. And man, when I got my arms around that, it changed my life, because I'm such a doer, and most of you are too. I'm such a doer. I'm such an A-type that I just do it. Just do it, whatever, just do it. You know, and I look up and nothing moved and I was exhausted. Stephen Covey says in his book, Principle-Centered Leadership, which you should read. Now, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is absolutely incredible. Everybody's read that, I think, on the planet. It's unbelievable. 9 million weeks on the New York Times bestseller. You should read it. And his other books are much more dense, deep, thick, more like a college professor. So be ready. I mean, they're not. You're not going to blow through them. 7 Habits, you're not going to blow through, but it's got some depth to it. But these other ones are like you're doing graduate work in college or something. So be ready. And Principle-Centered Leadership is one of those. But it's really, he's got this wonderful material in there about how time lays out. Now, what he says is that our time is broken into 4 quadrants. And each of those titles, you can see them is in your workbook, is, you know, you've got a column that's important and not important, a column that's urgent and not urgent. And so then that creates a quadrant of the quadrant 1 being important things that are urgent. Those are necessities. They have to be done. You have to eat. You have to drive the car, you have to put gas in the car, you have to make payroll, you have to collect the receivable, or you stay closed, or you get closed, you don't stay open. These are necessities. Quadrant 2 is important things that are not urgent. We call this the leadership quadrant. Quadrant three is the quadrant of deception. It's not important, but it's urgent. And quadrant four is default or waste of time, which is not urgent, it's not important. Why are we doing it? Now, most of us, and once you point it out to people of any level of intellect or maturity, do pretty good with quadrant one and quadrant four. We realize this is a necessity. I have to do this. And if I don't do this, I'm simply going to lose. I got to do it to win. And the other thing, you know, in quadrant four, you know, it's not important. It's not urgent. It just doesn't even have to be done. It's what's known as a waste of time. And there's a bunch of stuff that falls in that quadrant that we spend time on. And sometimes it's almost as if we medicate ourselves with these stupid things.
Well, this is a great tool. And I know if you're listening to this, you're maybe trying to kind of envision, well, what does this thing look like? And we're going to be bouncing around one, two, three, four a lot and referencing those. So we're actually going to make a link to the quadrant, a diagram of this available in the show notes. Right. So be sure to grab that if you want to kind of have, if you're like me and you're visual and you need to see it, it's a lot easier to kind of get your head around. But Dave used the word medication. Sometimes we do these things that are not important,
right,
but it makes us feel better.
Right.
Talk about that. Why do we do that?
You know, it's interesting because some of the examples he uses is like watching TV, for example. We just want to zone out. Our day is so stressful that we say to ourselves, we deserve it. We just want to zone out and watch TV. But the interesting thing is, after watching TV or after doing some of these things that we use to medicate, we don't actually feel any better. They didn't actually, it wasn't an investment into ourselves, into our personal development. We didn't leave that activity feeling more energized or more rested, which would be the goal of kind of checking out. And it's interesting because one of the things I've seen, and I spoke on this at Entree Leadership Master Series in my session, but our relationship with our phone has become this source of medicating. And it's interesting because Seth Godin wrote a blog, I guess it was about a year ago, and I don't remember exactly what it was titled, but he talks about why we obsessively check our phone. It's not even that we think there's new notifications and we're missing out on something. That's a piece of it. But we go to Facebook and we check our email and we go to our phone and pick it up because of how it makes us feel.
Dopamine.
Right.
There's a chemical hit.
Exactly. And so there's this medicating of going to our phone and, you know, consistently being connected there, that you see not only time being wasted, but it really falls in this fourth quadrant here of the default and waste, where we think we deserve it. We think we're somehow allowing ourselves some freedom to check out or zone out. But at the end of the day, it's really wasted time, where if you want to check out of the business for a minute, do something that's actually going to make you feel better. Go outside, take a deep breath, go for a walk, exercise, spend time with your kids. That's different.
Is not the culprit, right?
Right.
I mean, we need a rest and recovery.
Right.
What's the difference between recovery that's healthy and empowering versus something that, I mean, maybe Facebook is my recovery. Maybe watching TV, I could go, well, that's kind of where I unplug. Why is that a problem?
You know, I think it just depends on how you can gauge it. The best is how you feel afterwards. So after I go for a walk outside and I've had fresh air and I've had the sun on my face, or I've spent time with my friends, I leave feeling more energized, more happy. Those things, in a sense, are important to me, because I've then kind of saved the quadrant four of that off time is now still important and good time versus wasteful time. And some of the examples he uses are gossiping or watching TV or things that afterwards you don't really feel any better. It didn't make you a better person. It didn't give you more energy, and it wasn't an investment in yourself.
So things that aren't feeding your soul.
Right.
Just because they're downtime, they could be detractors from making forward progress.
Right, and you see this, and you see this with alcohol use. That's an extreme example, but you see this even with food. People medicate with food, and do they feel better after they ate the whole pie? No, they feel worse. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you can gauge it by how you feel afterwards, that you feel worse afterwards than you did before, then that's not a good use of your time in that quadrant four space.
We know what quadrant four looks like, right? We know what it is. And so we know what those things are. And instantly, if we go, I don't have enough time, people say, I don't have time to do this. Well, just turn off your television. I got it fixed for you. That's it. You know? In quadrant one, we know what those things are. Those are the hardcore central things. We know what those are. Those are easy things. The ones where you'll make progress is in the other two. And anyone you teach this to will make instant progress is in the other two. The first one is quadrant of deception. It's urgent, but it's not important. While I was teaching this morning, I got 46 emails. I checked my smartphone at the break. 46 emails. I scanned through them while Daniel was doing the exercise, and nothing was burning. Nothing was fried. There was no murders committed. And all my family's apparently alive, at least by the knowledge of those emails. So It'll wait. It'll wait. But how many times do we get sucked into, and I do it, needing to clean out my inbox? It's urgent, but maybe it's not important. And then the place that we spend our time that we're not spending enough time is in quadrant two, things that are not urgent but are important. And I'll give you some personal ones. You need a will. You need to make sure you have life insurance. You need to exercise and take care of your body. It's important, but it's not urgent. You need to change the oil in your car. Keep it tuned up. These are the things. I mean, isn't it weird? Strategic planning. Not urgent, but important. And here's what's weird. If you ignore things that are in that quadrant long enough, they will move to quadrant one. You don't change the oil in your car, you get to buy an engine and drive a rental while they replace it. You don't take care of your body, you'll get some time off. It's called a quadruple bypass. You don't stop and take your husband, your wife on a date, and you spend all your time with your business, you get to look for a new spouse because they will leave. Spend time in quadrant two intentionally, and you can rob that time from quadrant three by stopping the urgent and doing the non-urgent that is important. Relax even intentionally. For those of us that are people of faith, you're given a day off a week. It's a whole day. I just scared people to death just by saying that. You're quiet, God, in here? You know? A whole day intentionally to do nothing. How fun is that? To just spend time with your family. We're in the South. It means fried chicken or a steak on the grill. It means going to church for us. It's a day off. Take a day off. Be intentional about things that are important and not urgent. So do the urgent and the important. Do the not urgent but important. Delegate the urgent and not important. Delegate or discard the not urgent and not important.
You know, in working with thousands of business owners through the years, I mean, there's certainly some of us that do struggle with that quadrant four thing. There's always things we can probably prune out of our lives that really just are worthless. But more often than not, what I hear is business owners going, everything is quadrant one. Mm-hmm. My whole life is urgent and important. Mm-hmm. I don't ever get to recover or rest. I don't even know what that's like. Mm-hmm. How do I let stuff go that matters, you know, just to rest? And we've got this hero complex sometimes where we just go, I'm just gonna tough it up. I'm gonna push through.
Right.
4 hours of sleep at night, no problem. I'll just hit the caffeine and just keep rocking.
Right.
But that's kind of a short-lived success, if there even is success, right?
Right. And I think we believe this lie of, if only I get this done, then I'll get there. And we've talked about that before. But if only I can get through this week, or if I can get through this project, or this quarter, or this month, or whatever the next thing is, this fire I want to put out.
Why is that a problem?
Then I'll rest, because it's never done. It's absolutely never done. It's another quarter. It's another project. It's another problem. And so you are like this, you know, rat on a wheel that's running faster and faster and faster, and you're not going anywhere. And so if you can acknowledge it's never going to be done, there's never going to be a point in time when you sit back and take a deep breath and go, everything is done. I have no purpose today. Yeah. I have nothing I could possibly think of to do. There's always going to be things demanding of your time. So if you can just decide to carve out some time for you anyway, you're actually going to come back to work more rested and more productive. But it's so difficult to see that long-term benefits when in the moment we're just trying to keep up. So it's a difficult decision to make in the moment.
So what I'm hearing you say is that rest and recovery really is a quad two thing. It is important, but it's never going to be urgent unless we make it a priority.
Right. And it's how you view importance. It's did you decide that it was important, or did someone else decide? Because if your life is dictated by what everyone else decides is important, then there will never be time for you. No one's going to come up to you and say, hey, I really think you should take a day off. I think you should take a walk outside. Your family might, you know, plead with you to spend more time with them. But for the most part, people are not going to encourage you to take care of yourself. They're going to be pushing their needs in front of you all day. And so you have to decide what's important, not allow someone else.
Yeah, that's good. When you say it that way, it makes me think of defining importance more as a long-term measure? Over time, what is important versus what's just important today?
Right. And I think it's really the way that I look at importance when I look at this quadrant, for example. When you look at quadrant one and quadrant two, both have things that are high importance. To me, the way that I would define high importance are things that only you can do. Mm. Andy Stanley has a great quote where he says, the more successful you become, the less accessible you become. And so if that's the case and you become more successful in your business and you have less and less time for more and more demands, then you have to decide, okay, what is important to me and what's not? To me, the natural thought process would be things that are important are things that only you can do. Because if someone else can do it, delegate it.
Right.
You know? And so importance comes from things that are very significant to what you can do. And so you look at that. What are things that only you can do in the business? What are things that only you can do and spend your time doing those? Those are important because only you can fill that role. And then even in your family, what are things that only you can do? Only you can be a husband to your wife or a father to your kids or showing up at the games. And so that then moves up on the priority scale because it's important because only you can do it.
So Christy, quad two is really where the magic happens. That's the stuff that it is important, but it's not urgent. And for me, every time I'm doing something in quad two, it feels... the more I exercise this muscle, I think the better it feels. But even today, after doing this for years and hearing Dave teach this for a long time, I still feel like I should be doing something else.
Right.
There's something that's more pressing.
Right.
There's an email from my boss that's not getting replied to. There's somebody on the team needs something, and I'm drafting a document
right.
to prepare for a meeting that's next week.
Right.
And it just feels weird.
And I think, I think it's really habitual. Like, we're creatures of habit. And so if you spend every single one of your days putting out fires, doing what's urgent, and then one day you try to do something that's not urgent, everything in you is going, this doesn't make sense. This isn't how we work. This is not what we're used to. And so, yeah, it's, you know, anytime you make a change or do something that's a little bit different from what you're used to, it's really going to kind of send off some red flags of like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? This feels very different, but it's not bad. It's just different because you're used to spending your days by putting out fires. And again, we talked about this before, but if you see that as an investment long term, you know, Dave talks about how he goes off site once or twice a year and goes to his cabin and just writes on a notepad and dreams things he can't do when he's in the office with, you know, people banging down his door. And so if you look at that as a long term investment that's then going to reap rewards in the future, then it may make it a little bit easier to focus on that and make it worth it.
How important is that for a leader to evacuate the premises and go off site? Why is that significant versus just closing the door and saying, I'm just going to have a day in my office? But
it's interesting how I think creativity is really spurred when you change your environment. Mm. Like, I know for me, even when I'm writing a talk to go to a new speaking event, I can't write it at my desk. That's such a place of routine for me. And I'm used to checking emails and going through the motions of what I do every day. If I simply go into even just a different conference room or go to Starbucks, go somewhere else, it's like my mind is engaged in a new way because my environment has changed. I don't have the demands on me like I do when I'm sitting at my desk and apparently available.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's amazing how this creativity flows and you really start to see the effects of just changing your environment, just something that simple.
You know, it's funny. I've just in the last 3 weeks, I've asked people to meet me offsite for just first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. We start off at 8:30 here, and usually I'm here getting the team going, kind of looking at what's going to happen that day. The last two times that I've been offsite happened to be both days where Dave came to my office,
of course,
and said, "Where's Daniel?"
Of course,
and he never comes to my office
right.
like that. You know,
right.
I'm usually going to him, but.
Right.
I remember kind of unpacking it afterwards going, should I have been there? Because, you know, he's the CEO and he's to know where I am. And I just thought, you know, I don't regret doing that because the time that I had, those conversations, and like you're saying, a different environment, activating new ideas, you can feel guilty about it or you can celebrate it.
Right.
And I think leaders need to celebrate that more.
Absolutely.
And need to embrace that more.
You have to have an incredible amount of confidence to be a leader, especially an entree leader. And it's going to really come into play in moments like that where everything around you wants you to doubt, but you know what you did was the best for the business and the best for you. Mm. And so you just kind of hang on to that confidence in moments like that for sure.
Okay. So quad three is the not important, but urgent. This is a place where there can be, hidden resources. Like, there could be some time there that's available if we would just stop doing those things that we could spend that time in quad two and be more effective. How do we identify the quad three stuff and evaluate that and make sure we're constantly pruning that out?
Right. Well, when we're spinning our wheels going 100 miles an hour and we're just used to being in the mode of putting out fires where everything that you do is urgent. You're just looking at the urgency. You're not really evaluating the importance. You're only evaluating the urgency. Then you're gonna take on a lot of tasks that you don't have to be doing, but because they're urgent, you feel like you do. And so that's where it goes back to changing your mind and changing your behavior, that you're now trying to switch from quadrant three, which is deception, to quadrant two, which is leadership, and say, instead of doing everything that's urgent, I'm going to do everything that's important. And so you're moving some of your time resources from quadrant three to quadrant two. And the way that you do that is by identifying what are the things that you don't have to do. If there's something that you do not have to be the person to do, you can delegate those items, free up some margin and some time like we talked about, and then take on some of those things that are not as urgent but are still very important in quadrant two.
Okay, so let's assume you get a perfect score and you engineer this thing down to the 3-second interval, right? And you've just optimized this and you've got everything in quad one's rocking. You're not doing anything that's not important. You're spending a lot of time doing things that are important but not urgent, and you're not doing anything in quad four that's not important and not urgent. We still have to say no.
Right.
There's still kind of a maximum threshold,
right,
that even the best of the best have to get comfortable with that word no.
Right.
We have to tell other people no. We have to tell ourselves no.
Right.
We can't activate every idea that we have, but I don't like that. I don't know about you, but I want to do everything. I want to believe I can do everything. And it's kind of counterintuitive to that positive believe it and name it and go get
right.
it. I mean, it's kind of this paradox. So how do you do that?
Well, it's interesting because I think that we're uncomfortable saying no, but it's even more uncomfortable when there's a moment where we need to say no, but other people are putting pressure on us in a moment where we need to say no. And Chris Hogan, actually, I was just over there in his session this morning, and he made a great statement. He said, you need to decide as a leader. You need to decide if you are going to do what's popular or what's effective.
Wow.
And you have to really think about that, because if you're constantly chasing what's popular, then you're going to be saying yes to everyone around you that has all of their many requests of you and all of their many ideas because you want to please them. But that may not move the business forward. That may not be what's effective. You may be liked, you may be their friend, and you're very, very popular, but the business is stalling. And so you have to decide for yourself if you're going to do what's popular or what's effective. If you're choosing to do what's effective, it's going to result in saying no. It's going to result in disappointing people. It's going to result in not every single person's idea, even yours, moving forward. And so it's just a tough call to make, but I think once you make that decision, you realize that you're saying no with the goodness of the business in mind, with the future in mind, which will benefit those team members when they have a job in 5 years. So it's important.
Yeah. I'm looking at those two words. I wrote this down, popular versus effective. You know, popular is really emotion-driven, and effectiveness is really maturity-driven. So strategically, the more that we grow and the more discipline that we build into how we make decisions, I think the easier it is, right, to focus on that mature paradigm and go, I'm going to do what's effective, even though emotionally right now, I feel like my reputation's on the line. I'm not as popular as I'd like to be perceived as. So really, really cool insight, popular versus effective. You know, I've also heard you talk before about how you're not, if you've got all this optimized, you're not really saying no as much as you're saying yes to a plan that you've already got in place.
Right.
That's a different kind of way of framing that up.
Totally. I don't feel bad saying no because I don't focus on the no. I focus on the yes. When I said no to this project or this request, I was actually doing that so that I could say yes to something more important. So as we encourage leaders to move onto the left side of the grid, the important side, the side of things that only they can do, that's where your yeses are. So you're saying no to the right side of the grid, but it's so that you can say yes to the left side. So if you focus on the yes, then you know where you're going, you know your finish line, you know your goal and your vision, and that's what drives you to be able to say no, because you're doing it with something better in mind.
So I love all this stuff, and I think these principles, as I'm listening, I'm just going, yeah, this is great. And I'm already thinking through my week this week going, you know, I need to go back and reevaluate some things that I've got on my calendar and really do an audit and go, is this because I want to be popular? Is it because I want to be effective? And I think those are good questions. But what are the management systems that really make this practical? Do you do a weekly kind of evaluation of your time? Do you just kind of go with your gut and over time just kind of try to keep it top of mind? What do you do to kind of ensure that you stay on track with this and that it's really being managed effectively, operationally wise?
Well, I think it's going to be different per person. Everyone, you know, kind of manages their time in a different way that makes sense to them. Some people take this to the extreme where they want to map out every single minute for a month. Mm. That's not realistic. There needs to be some fluidity to this for new things to come in, for your priorities to change, for you to change your mind because your kid has a soccer game that came up and you want to move things around. So there needs to be a little bit of flexibility to it. But I think the goal is just to have a guideline. You know, we talked in the session at Entree Leadership Master Series where I said, use your values as a compass. So use, in this case, use what's important as a compass. This is what I want to focus on this week. This is what I know I have to get done, and I'm going to block out times to make that happen. But you've still got a little bit of flexibility that if a meeting pops up and it's important also, and you want to move it in there, you can do that. It's not so rigid that you don't have the freedom on a given, you know, day to make changes if necessary. But it's up to you and your discernment to decide what makes the left side of this grid. What is important to you in order to make the cut?
I love it. Well, a great tool. And again, we will make this available as a PDF download in the show notes. So check that out. And you may even want to print it out and just kind of put it up on by your desk where you can look at it as you're thinking through your calendar, maybe even talk with your spouse about it. And what does this look like on the family front? What does this look like with your team? Maybe this is a source of just conversation with your team to say, hey, let's print this out and let's be talking through this on a regular basis. Because as leaders, I think some of this is a little bit more intuitive. But I think it's also important that we slow down and we show our team, this is the quadrant. And what does this look like as far as how it impacts your world and your key results areas this week?
Right. And it's really about being intentional rather than just kind of flying by the seat of your pants through your week. It helps you be intentional about deciding where your time goes.
Well, Christy, thank you so much. Your wealth of knowledge and wisdom on this topic.
Thanks for
and,
having me.
I'm learning even here just going through this again. So I hope this has been valuable for our listeners. I'm sure this will make a big impact for how they manage their time and how they think about their values and their priorities. Really, really cool, valuable information here. So also remember, EntreeLeadership.com now has lots of bonus content, articles, resources, videos. Christy is actually recording daily video coaching tips with us now,
yes,
along with Chris Hogan and John Felkins as a part of our coaching team. So we're really enjoying having Christy as one of our personalities for Entree Leadership and representing this brand, doing a great job. But all of that's available at EntreeLeadership.com. Lots and lots of free information and good stuff, like really empowering stuff, stuff you can print out if you're in a pinch and go, I need to have a meeting with our team. We need to talk about something, but I'm not sure what to take them through. There's videos on there you can just play and then have discussion questions afterwards. There's things that you can read or print off and hand out to your team that are going to move the needle on their productivity that week. So go check out EntreeLeadership.com for that. And because it is 2014 and we are cutting edge and all things technology, we have decided to join this new thing with Entree Leadership. You may have heard of it. It's called Facebook. We are officially on Facebook with Entree Leadership. We are a little bit late to the game there. But we've been on Twitter for a while. But go, and I hate it when people say like us on Facebook because I'm like, okay, why? Like, that's all about you. What's
right
in it for me? So we're going to work on that part. I'm not going to tell you like us on Facebook. If you want to, you can. But we're going to come up with some fun reasons that it would be beneficial to you to do that. But if you want to come have a conversation with other leaders and business owners and hang out with us with Entree Leadership stuff, we are on Facebook now. So check that out. And Entree Leadership Master Series coming up in March. And we still have some room left on that. So that's our 7-day, week-long event. That's the same thing, right? 7 days, week-long.
Right.
It's anonymous. But that's the one that Dave Ramsey personally teaches. Our playbook, you're going to do some speaking there and some
yep
coaching as a part of that event, as well as Chris Hogan.
Right.
So we still have some room left. Be sure to go ahead and lock in your seats today. All right, Christy, take us out.
Stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. Until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.